It's Thursday, and that means it's time to turn to Daniel Howes, columnist at the Detroit News. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Cindy. How are you?
Good, good. Today, you're looking at Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr and the big meetings this week with the city's creditors and bondholders. So I want to start out, and I want to read a bit from your column today in the Detroit News. Here's what you wrote. As Orr's week of meetings with creditors and pension funds unspools and Detroit slouches closer to an historic Chapter 9 bankruptcy filing, the gulf separating the financial imperatives of the city's creditors and the political realities of its predicament is unmistakable and probably unbridgeable. So, Daniel, I hear a kind of sour note this week. Explain for us what's going on between Orr and the creditors that has you looking at the glass half empty.
Well, Kevin Orr's restructuring teams are meeting with, in various sets of meetings with both creditors, bondholders, as well as pension funds to kind of lay out essentially what their offer is. As it's been described to me this week by one of the lawyers involved in this, it's really not so much a negotiation so much as it is an exchange or an open discussion about what they need to do. But there's not a lot of wiggle room here, and I think that's really the bottom line. Some people are approaching this as if Kevin Orr's got more money to play with than he actually does. In Chapter 9, it's all about whether a city has cash flow or doesn't have cash flow. It's not about whether it owns assets in an art museum, for example, or a piece of real estate in the middle of the Detroit River. It's really, is it cash flow insolvent or is it not? And his argument is, we're insolvent, there's no more money, we can't raise taxes, this is what you're going to get. So that's not really so much a negotiation in the classic sense of the word.
Now, you're arguing in your piece creditors are really not buying Orr's what you call deadbeat defense for Detroit, and nor should they, that they aren't in the charity business. But if that's the case, how does Detroit move forward to right its financial ship?
Well, I think that's why I think bankruptcy is increasingly likely. You know, my reading of this and talking to experts about it, including in one interview with Kevin Orr, is that the powers that he has as emergency manager are turbocharged under Chapter 9, where the process really is weighted in favor of, in this case, the city or the debtor. In Chapter 11, which people are more familiar with in the business world, it's really a balancing act between the company that's going into bankruptcy, its needs, and what it's going to look like on the other side, and the financial obligations to creditors, et cetera, et cetera. That's not so much the case in Chapter 9. It's all about fixing the financial problems of the municipality. And most of the power resides with the debtor. In this case, it would be Kevin Orr. And as long as he can convince a judge that there are no other options for Detroit, that's how you move forward. And I think a lot of the people involved in this know this. We have a story on our front page today, a news story, where pension officials are accusing Kevin Orr of basically a dog and pony show, that he has no intention of, quote, negotiating, that he's going to take this thing into Chapter 9. And I think they know that once they get into Chapter 9, they don't have a lot of options, and he can pretty much do whatever he can convince a judge that he needs to do.
So is his position between a rock and a hard place as he's trying to show creditors just how bad things are, and then the creditors are saying, okay, but I'm special, what's in it for me?
Exactly.
How do you get around that?
I don't think you really do. You know, the other side of this coin is that those of us that have been a lot closer to Detroit for a much longer period of time have seen this train wreck developing for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at these lenders, of various classes of lenders, and you want to say to these people, what are you thinking? I mean, this has been the sickest major city in America for, you know, a generation or more, probably two generations. And yet they've either loaned the city money, or they've bought bonds in the city and hold municipal bonds with the assumption that, oh, the city will continue to raise taxes. Well, did they bother to look at the tax load that Detroit was carrying? Did they understand that it's at its statutory limit, that the state of Michigan, the laws in the state of Michigan, won't allow it to raise any more taxes, barring an act of the legislature? And I think part of what Kevin Orr's argument to some of these people is, you should have been paying closer attention. And their argument back to him is, well, no, you're breaking the rules.
Mm.
Well, in some senses, he really isn't breaking the rules. These are unsecured creditors, and he says, we can't raise taxes. In fact, they want to cut taxes. So, I mean, I think the reason that they don't want to bargain with him is because I think in part they don't want to set any kind of precedent. If you're a municipal lender or of some kind, you get into a real difficult position if all of a sudden you start taking 10 cents on the dollar from Detroit, and then you have other distressed municipalities that try to go down the same road.
Do you see any upside for Kevin Orr as this week unfolded? The bus tour that didn't happen, which apparently was the idea of Kenneth Buchfire, mm-hmm. who's the Detroit native and New York investment banker who thought it would be, he's the city's lead financial advisor. Let's show him how bad things are. So that was his thing. It got public. It went away. But the fact that Kevin Orr appears to be putting services to residents first over forking over money to creditors, does that kind of put a damper on the critics who say he's only here to keep banks and money interests happy?
Well, I think people that make that charge aren't really looking at the that's just empty rhetoric. I don't think they're really looking at his proposal. They're not looking at who's taking a haircut. I mean, are some of these bondholders insured by bond insurers? Yeah, they are. That's the way the system works. But the bond insurers are the people who stand to lose a lot. No, I think he's focusing. I mean, look, Detroit has been run for a very, very long time for its employees and the political structure, not for the residents, mm-hmm. not for the businesses, not for people like me who pay taxes, don't live in the city, but go down there and have to pay taxes in the city. It's been run for the unions, the demands of the pension funds, the political class, the members of city council who wear tiaras and sing songs and do all sorts of other silliness and have presided over the collapse of a once great American city. And I think what he's doing is trying to turn that on its head. And the other group you could add into that is it was run for the lending community. Because they continued to get their money. They continued to get paid until they got to a point where it wasn't going to happen anymore. And I think what Kevin Orr is doing is saying, wait a minute, we've got to arrest the decline, got to provide better services, and have a better environment that's more welcoming for people to move in back into the city, for businesses to continue to invest. And I think his strategy probably makes a lot of sense. Whether he's going to be able to pull it off or not in the time frame that he is pushing is another thing, because there's also a political component here, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Governor Rick Snyder, who's Kevin Orr's boss, is going to be running for re-election, by all accounts, by this time next year. They need to show results, and those results are not cutting a deal with a bunch of lenders that nobody knows who they are. It's getting the lights on. It's getting cops responding more quickly. It's getting EMS to come when people call 911.
Daniel House, columnist at the Detroit News, our Thursday check-in. Thanks so much, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.